In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we
confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Generous God, your Son gave his life that we might come to peace with you. Give us a share of your Spirit, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land that you promised on the oath of their ancestors'? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know will be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of the meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord. We read the psalm responsively, and please read the bold print. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. A reading from James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe one of the key concepts that came out of the 16th century Reformation was that the church did not function as a broker of your salvation. Particularly in the Lutheran witness, that emphasis on justification centers on what Christ has done for us that saves us in our relationship with God. Now, the church plays a role in proclaiming the gospel, offering the sacraments as a means of God's grace, and the church certainly functions as an instrument of God, but the church is not the broker. One of the problems that I believe the American church has succumbed to is mimicking the ways of consumerism and capitalism, functioning as a sort of broker of sorts. We certainly have some churches even today that want to be that broker of salvation. They would have taken some of the verses and the lessons we've just heard and really abused them. That if you don't follow their way, if you don't follow them, then you're going to be in grave danger. They might look like a modern church, but they still retain the abusive, heretical theology that we experienced all the way back in the 16th century. Then there are other churches that just really want to get people hooked and keep them engaged with gimmicks and productions. It's more about numbers and worldly success for them than the gospel. Now, John's statement to Jesus in our gospel lesson today in Mark is very telling. "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." You see what John's problem is? Because he was not following us. By no means does John say this man wasn't successful, right? He was successful. John didn't care about that. John's concern was he's not following us. And that's a trouble we get into in ministry. And I say this as a point of conviction. I've been in this area for 10 years now. And I believe churches could be more collaborative with one another. And there are signs where we've gotten better and done some great things. Our food pantry in Cardington is an ecumenical food pantry with other churches. And we just, as a congregation, joined Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. So I've seen some great work that we've been doing. But at the same time, in my opinion, churches in this area aren't as collaborative because there's a spirit of competition, worried about us. And then there are other churches that might not be so much focused on competing with one another, They're worried about chasing the glory days from years past. And things are shifting, things are changing, they see things are dwindling. So they're so inwardly focused, they don't have time or want to engage and collaborate and work with others. Again, focused on us. And in congregations within themselves and their own bureaucracies often inflict this misguided spirit of John on its own members. I remember reading a book a few years ago called Church Refugees. Now, the word refugee means someone that's reluctantly leaving their home, right? So it was about people who were very involved and very engaged in the church and were leaving because they were discouraged and burnt out. And this was written by a couple of sociologists. So they were doing these interviews. There's one story of a woman that wanted to do a lawn mowing ministry, but she had to run it through a series of boards. If you've been involved in the church long enough or organizations, you can get this picture, right? She had to run it through, up the ladder, up the chain, had to have so many things prepared in her proposals just to receive a blessing. Then she quickly realized that once this was approved, if it was approved, the church wasn't going to give her volunteers, wasn't even going to financially back her. So she's like, why do I need this approval or this blessing? I'm just going to go out and do it myself. So we have our share of falling short here and having that misguided spirit of John and making sure everybody's doing it with us and with our approval. But I have seen some glimmers of hope and some signs of change and transformation, even our own local congregation here, wanting to walk with those who suffer in the community and wanting to support those who want to intentionally take that journey. For years, this congregation supported Dick Knoll in the Bridge Walk, right? In raising funds for like Lutheran Home of Mercy and other charities. We're doing as a congregation, we have a team, a walk to end Alzheimer's, wanting to walk with those, literally and figuratively, those who have experienced Alzheimer's, either themselves or with their loved ones, and wanting to understand, walk, and hopefully provide treatments and cures with the research, the funds that are raised. And our own Jason Radel, in recent years, we've supported him in his Velasano Race for the Cure, where he does that to raise money for cancer research through the Cleveland Clinic. You might have noticed a couple weeks ago there was a nice write-up of Jason in the Marian Star, and a reporter called me and asked me why we were supporting Jason, and I think that the sense I got there was that it was a little bit intrigued. Why would a congregation support someone to do this particular thing? It doesn't seem like something churches would normally do, at least from the perception of the reporter. And we do it because people like Jason and others who do these initiatives want to share their gifts in this way. And that's how we support them, and that's how we as a congregation can be a further blessing to the community at large. It might seem unique, but it's something that we do. We see these as missionary efforts. They might not be missionary efforts in the way that we think of missionaries, but I believe that's what they are. And it seems clear to me in our gospel lesson today that Jesus is a bottom line guy, right? It seems clear that he wants demons casted out. So someone like Jason or everybody else that wants to partner with others to do just that, and I think cancer, Alzheimer's, you name it, are some of the evils that we experience in the world, then let's work with anybody who's willing to do just that. It's not about following us. It's about making sure that we are all following Jesus. And Jesus is calling us to be salt for the earth. And these are just some of the many ways in which we can do that. Now, there are certainly ministries and tasks in the congregation that we need people to do. We absolutely need people to share their time and their gifts for us to carry out our ministry, our mission, our daily operations, our weekly operations. However, I believe that we fall short if people gather here, if people belong to our parish, and then leave on a Sunday morning or Saturday evening and think that ministry can only happen here or when we are doing something together. You all bear the name of Christ. You all bear the sign of the cross wherever you go. And God has called you. And God is using you to care for and love people that cross your path day in and day out. Now, when we look to the letter that we get from James today, that's not a call to full-on individualism either. So we need to stop this binary thinking in our culture. Is ministry something that we do together or we do alone? It's both. The answer is both. And we're reminded in James to pray with people and to be with those who are suffering. A call to be vulnerable with each other, to confess our sins to one another, and then to receive and cling to that word of forgiveness that we know in Christ. And some of those things that we're engaging in the community and other things like Stephen's ministry are a conduit to all of that. That we would walk with people and that God could use us as a source of healing. Now we're going to stumble along the way. And we're going to still try to get in the way of God's mission. But fear not. Because Christ took on the cross for our sake, and we die and rise with Christ. And when we follow Christ, and in that daily dying and rising, we will grow in our faith and desire to love God and to serve others. And then we look out into the world and realize the possibilities are endless. The possibilities are endless. Look at just what can be done through just those organizations like our food pantry and Love, Inc., when we do it together as the one holy Catholic and apostolic church and not just in our own silos. Imagine trying to individually do our own food pantry. How ineffective would that be, right? Think about the impact and the growing of that ministry. And in our congregation in particular, has benefited from our synod and our churchwide organization in receiving grants to do more things in the community. And that takes a mentality of seeing the church as being more than just our local congregation. We can point to examples like world relief, disaster response, not done just by Lutherans nationally and internationally, but ecumenically with Christians around the world. And I think what we get in our gospel lesson today is that partnership is, as I reiterate again, wider than the church. Because Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. So there are opportunities in our community and beyond to partner with and support those who are working for the common good, who are doing what we see is important to be doing in our community and in the world. And if they welcome us, they welcome you, Jesus tells us to go with it. See, we miss that part of what Jesus says, I believe, because it's that misguided spirit of John. We're so worried and hung up that you got to conform to us, that Jesus is saying, they're not against us, they're for us. Like I said, Jesus is a bottom line guy. If people are casting out demons in your community, that's a win. Go with it. And it doesn't water down our witness, it expands it. Talk to people like Dick Knoll or Jason Radel. I don't think their faith gets watered down when they participated in things like that. Ask them. I believe their faith grows because of it. It gives us an opportunity to be engaged with more people, to share our motivation, why we do what we do, because it's a response to the love that we've received from Jesus Christ. It's having that opportunity to be salt for this earth. How grateful we are to have the partnership we have with other Christians and others when we walk with those who are suffering and support them along the way, support them in any way we can. We're called not to be conformed to our ways, but transformed by the way of Christ. And we pray that the Spirit would continue to guide us and transform us to the way of Jesus. The Spirit that invites us
to graciously receive and encounter God's grace and love for us, that together as a community and individually as a child of God, you know that this world that we enter into is a mission field with plenty of opportunities to pass the salt of God's love and peace that would give all people a taste of God's kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Spirit, Spirit.
believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for the holy people of God. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the church and its ministry. Bless the newly baptized and encourage them in their journey of faith. Sustain all members of the body of Christ in lives of prayer, service, and worship. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for natural wonders of your creation. Restore damaged forests, waterways, and natural habitats, and lead us to be good stewards of what you have provided. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in authority. Give them wise minds and compassionate hearts. Strengthen in them a desire to protect the vulnerable and care for those underserved. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are struggling with cancer, dementia, or any other disease. Provide them with peace and resilience for the days ahead. Sustain caregivers with energy and patience. We pray for those who are ill, especially Ray, Matt, Tracy, Scott, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Timothy, Candace, Stan, Eileen, Blaine, Jasmine, Michelle, Audrey, David, Sutton, Nola, Archer, John, the family of Renita Schalk, Gloria, Faith, Megan, Rob, Leah, the family of Barb Wilson, and our homebound. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the worship leaders of this congregation, for musicians, readers, communion assistants, ushers, and all those who serve in various capacities for worship. Bless us through their ministry and grant them the passion to continue in their service. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for all your saints, those we have loved and known, and those from every time and place. Continue to guide us by their example and reassure us of your promised salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Hosanna.
God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows, and Jesus, our brother, he was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic, O God, most motherly, O God, our strength and our song, you show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants at this time, and I'll give communion instructions and then an invitation to our children's church. So communion, I'll be in the center aisle, and I'll have the consecrated host. We'll have two stations for wine, and if you desire grape juice, that'll only be served on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. Now, for those that want to attend children's church this morning, you're welcome to come up as a family to receive the sacrament, but we want you to come out and receive first, and then Linda Peake, she's leading our lesson today, they'll be going out into the fellowship hall for a little lesson while we finish with the distribution of sacrament and the rest of the liturgy. So anybody that desires to come forward for children's church, you come up now. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. And a blessing. May you walk with those who suffer in any way, and may you know the abiding presence of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. The body of Christ given for you. 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 Given for you. Body of Christ 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 given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Given for you. Your eyes. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christ sends us out into the world, we recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.